Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, I'm delighted, of course, that we're back, and here it is, September ready. September, to me, is always a month of beginnings again. It's a wonderful month to start anything that you want to start. If you started in September, that is what I have found, and it dates back, I think, getting ready to go to school years ago. So I really do love September. Now, in August, for the people who missed August and all, we talked about emotions, feelings, and thought. And we talked about how important they are, especially feelings. If you do not have a feeling, it's very hard to manifest something in your life, to demonstrate something. So find the feeling for the thing that you want to demonstrate and get a feeling going. Remember, Emmett Fox said you must have warmth of feeling. But feeling is the secret to prayer. And what we were teaching, or what I was teaching last month, is called the Lost Mode of Prayer. And it actually came from the Essenes, which were a group of people that lived 500 years before Christ. And the whole idea of it is get the feeling and know that it is already done, that it is already there. And once you start to feel it, you will see it. It will come into your life. But so many people are praying, and sometimes it's working and sometimes it's not working. But if you use this mode of prayer and use feelings, it will work every time for you. Because this thing that we call God talks in that language, in the language of feelings. You see, God does not talk English, French, Spanish. God talks feelings. And you're connected to this thing that we call God through your feelings. Of course, you're connected to God in all ways, and you're connected to God in your thought. But it's feelings and thought connected along with emotion that will bring into your life what you want. And the emotion is always going to be love or fear. So that's the easy one. So you just choose, where am I coming from? Am I coming from love or am I coming from fear? And then you make your demonstration. Then you find out, what is the feeling? How will I feel when this is accomplished? And you keep that feeling, and you keep that feeling going, and you don't get discouraged, and you will manifest what you want. You use this same technique when you're doing affirmations. If an affirmation does not make sense to you, does not tingle inside of you, does not do something internally, it's not going to work for you. You have to find one that you can relate to with a feeling, that you can actually feel it inside of your body. So when I use an affirmation like, money's always freely circulating in my life and I always have a divine surplus, that makes sense to me. And I can understand that. You can use that too if it makes sense to you. If it doesn't, you change it till it makes sense to you, you see. But it's always going to be done with feelings. We always have to remember that the life of the organism is feelings. We are taught that life is something else. That life is thought. It's this, it's that, it's the other. But it's always going to boil down to the life of the organism is feelings. We have been taught not to express our feelings. And that is where we've always gotten ourselves into trouble. We are afraid of our own feelings. And you cannot be afraid of your feelings. That is where your life is. And once you learn to express your feelings, your life will change also. Across the board, almost everybody stuffs their feelings. They're afraid to tell somebody exactly how they feel. And they monitor their feelings, and they usually tell the person what they think the person wants to hear because they're afraid they're going to hurt that person's feelings. You see? But it's always going to be feelings. You're not going to hurt somebody's feelings. Anytime that you tell the truth, you're not going to hurt somebody's feelings. If they get hurt, they have hurt themselves, remember? We don't walk around with hurt guns, you see. So we can't hurt people, really. But we are cautious and with the way we talk to people and all. But you have to express yourself, and you have to feel your feelings. Don't stuff your feelings. Always use them, and you'll see that your life will become richer and richer and richer while you do that. So that's what we did in August. We did that. Now, in September here, since the name of this class is Prosperity and Abundance, including its topic, I'm going to give you several affirmations connected to money so that you can manifest more money into your life. Because the whole idea in life is to have money. Money is freedom, and you need money. And we usually don't have money because of some thought that we were given when we were much younger. And we maintain that thought. So we try to get rid of that thought. Earlier this evening when I was having dinner, somebody expressed, "Isn't it funny that I didn't see that years ago, or I didn't know that years ago, and it was always right there?" You're always going to be looking through filters, and you're going to be hearing through filters. The whole idea in life is to see clearly. And in order to see clearly, you get rid of the filters that you have put in front of yourself. What are those filters? Those filters are your attitudes, your beliefs, your opinions, and your viewpoints. You have to, if you're looking through those filters, you are going to only see what those will allow you to see. So if your belief is there's never enough, you see, there's never going to be enough, and you're always going to see through that filter. You're always going to see that filter. When you realize that the world is absolutely prosperous, absolutely abundant, and money is always out there and always circulating, now you've removed that filter and you're looking through it differently. You never see with your eyes, remember. You see with your mind. Your eyes see nothing. It's the mind that sees, not the eyes. So what your belief system is what you are going to see. So you must go back and change your beliefs, your attitudes, your viewpoints. And you change those. We were talking earlier about an overlay. People overlay themselves, and that's the filter. You overlay your life with your beliefs. Beliefs were handed down to you. Beliefs you made up because of different experiences and stuff that came into your life. If they're not working now, you have to get rid of them. One of the main things that people, when you're doing any of this work, remember, we always have to go back to the idea that we're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. That has to be your base always. When you start a treatment work or you start affirmations, you first have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And that is your base from once you work. That is an overlay there. If you don't have that, you may get it, and you may not get what you want in life, you see. But once you know those items, you'll always get what you want. Now, with this thing that we call money, the overlay that we have, or the underpinning that most of us walk around with is, I am not enough, I don't have enough, and I don't do enough. You see, it's the word enough. There is never enough of anything. That is a little trick that your ego mind does to you. It wouldn't matter if you have $1 million, your mind would say that is not enough. Now you need $2 million. It's not enough. I don't have enough time to complete this. I don't have enough time to do this, that, or the other thing. Try to eliminate the word enough from your vocabulary. Realize that you always have enough time. Why do you always have enough time? Because you're going to live for an eternity. You see? And that's a long time. So there's always enough time to get your work done. to get anything you want done. But if you constantly say there's not enough time, you're never going to get your things done. So eliminate that and change. Make an affirmation, I am enough, I have enough, and I do enough. You see. The mind loves to tell you that you're never doing enough. It will always go back to that. It doesn't matter if you worked 18 hours a day, your mind will say, you know, if you put in another hour, that thing would be better. So you have to learn to listen to what your mind is saying to you. But if you're living with the idea that there's not enough, if you have picked up that belief system that there's not enough, then you're living in lack and limitation and you're living in scarcity. You can't live in lack and limitation and scarcity and have that as a belief system and expect to demonstrate money. You see, because you can't go past your belief system. Just as an automatic fail system. So you have to change your belief to come up to the demonstration that you want. But all of us do that because we hear that all the time. The world outside will always tell you there's not enough and that you're not enough. You need more of this, 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 and this. You have to know that you already have everything. You have to know how to sit and appreciate what you already have. When you're able to appreciate what you already have, more will come to you. More will come to you. Things will come into your life. And don't be afraid to let go of things. Don't be afraid to let go of things. Somebody last week or 2 weeks ago gave me a beautiful dragon. And somebody else came in and said, oh, I love that dragon. I said, you may have that. Now, I own two dragons because somebody else gave me two dragons. You see, as soon as I gave up one, I got two. It's the idea of keeping everything in circulation and not being afraid. If you are afraid to give, if you are afraid to give something, you're not going to get something. You have to give, you see. Now, that does not mean you go out and give everything you own away and so forth. With all this teaching, and anything that you hear in this teaching, you must apply wisdom with it. You must apply wisdom with it. You see, we urge you to keep an open mind, but not that open that your brains fall out. And that's what many people do. They just go banana and berserk with this kind of stuff. Don't do that to yourselves. All right. Now, have a lovely thing here. To expand your thinking is to develop your imagination. How many people here want to expand their thinking? Well, you do it with your imagination. How many times have we talked about imagination? How many times have we said that imagination is the greatest tool that you have in your toolbox, that you must use your imagination? It is a God-given gift, and it's a wonderful thing to use. Your imagination is greater in its scope than you might think. It is the closest link to your soul. Your imagination is the closest link to your soul. This one I just love. It is not bound by your past programs, beliefs, and fears. Imagination was given to you so you could transcend your physical world. So that you could transcend your physical world. So use that imagination. And when you're using your imagination, remember, no past programming. It doesn't rely on past programming. It doesn't rely on your belief system. That's why imagination is so important. So you want to expand your thinking into this world. Start using your imagination. Start seeing the world the way you want it to be. If you want global warming to stop, Start seeing it and stop believing what the scientists are telling you. Stop believing what your eyes are seeing, that the glaciers are falling off. Our collective consciousness is causing that. This thing we call God is not causing that. We are causing that. We cause everything that comes into our life. And we can stop this. We can stop anything. We can stop world hunger. But we believe in scarcity. We believe in scarcity. The thing that we believe in most is what? It's always been that way. It's always been that way. And as soon as we say that, we stop thinking of any other way. Human beings have always been that way. The poor have always been among us. This has always been. This has always been. You have to raise above that thinking. Use your imagination and see this world the way you want it to be, the way you want to live in it. And then see your own. Remember, everything always comes back to you. See yourself the way you want to be in your world, in your small world. Make it that your universe. It's your universe that you're walking around in. Don't walk around in somebody else's universe. Make your own universe. You can do that. And you do that by using your imagination. So learn to use your imagination. And you will see a big difference in yourself. And always remember that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yay! I hope that everyone is doing that at home and during the day and remembering.
You have to remember that you matter. Not only this thing called God, which because you do matter to God, God would be incomplete without each and every one of us. So you matter a great deal to God. Now you have to realize that you matter to yourself, you see. You have to do that. And you can do that not only by reminding yourself, but by using your imagination. You can stretch your imagination so that you know, geez, I really matter around here. My opinions matter. What I do matters. I affect everything that I'm around. Therefore, I must matter. Learn to matter about yourself. People want this, that, and the other thing in their life. They may do a treatment for it. Do you think the universe is going to back you up in that treatment? This is a pretty deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? You think you're going to get what you want? No, you're not. And in any job or any situation that you go, if you go to an interview and you don't know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and you matter, you think you're going to get the job? I doubt it. I doubt very seriously you're going to get the job. Because you must remember that these interviews and these auditions and all this stuff that you do, you think what you're presenting to that person is what you're presenting, and it's not. Everyone sees through everything. You know that when somebody doesn't like themselves, you know that. You know when somebody's pulling your leg. You know all that stuff, regardless of what they say. What does that go back to? How do you feel about that person? How do you feel about yourself? It's always going to boil down to the feeling. How are you feeling? And how are you feeling in every moment of your life? How are you feeling about yourself? How are you feeling about yourself? Do you remember an affirmation we had months and months ago? I am highly pleased with myself in the presence of others. I'm highly pleased with myself in the presence of others. So many people, in the presence of other people, they think, oh, they're better than I am. They're this, they're that. yada, yada, whatever the mind talk is. Don't do that to yourself. Be highly pleasing to yourself. Know that you matter. And you'll see all the difference in the world with that also. So learn these different things. Use them. They absolutely work. And that last month's thing, that lost mode of prayer, has been in existence for at least 25 or 3,000 years, and it has worked. And it has worked with people, indigenous people, all over the globe. It only stopped working when Christianity got its hands on it and changed it and said, oh no, that isn't, you don't have to do it that way, you do it this way. But I'm telling you, find out how you feel about something. How do you feel about money? If you want money, learn to feel good about money. Learn to see money everywhere. And you'll start to attract money to you. But if you think there's not enough money, if you think it's dirty money, if you think this, that, and the other thing, so a billboard says now, dirty, sexy money. It's going to be a new program on television. Dirty, sexy money. Now, if you think money's dirty, do you want it? Do you want it? Do you think you're going to draw it into your life? No. You have to realize that money is a wonderful thing, an absolutely wonderful thing. And then you can draw it into your life. You see. Tonight's topic is respond. Many people go through life only reacting to life, never responding to life. And you have to learn to respond to life. Meaning, we just, most of us, react to something that comes to us automatically. And we react the way we saw somebody else react. And we don't give ourselves a chance or a choice to say, oh, I could have done that differently. But when you learn that you can respond to life, and you can respond to life differently, your whole life changes again. You see, then you're not just reacting all the time. Many people get bored with life. Well, I'd get bored with life too if I just kept reacting. That's just an automatic thing going on all the time. If you're just reacting to something, you're becoming automatic. And yet, if you react to everything that comes down the pike, no wonder most people are on some kind of medication, you see. You can't do that to yourself. So you have to learn how to respond, and you have to learn how to respond differently to the situations in your life, to things that come into your life. How do I respond to this? How can I look at this differently? When I am in this a situation, I always try to think, how would God handle this? What is God thinking about this? You see? It's called the third choice, you see. And we never go to the third choice because we always think it either has to be yes or no, true or false, you see. But when you go up in consciousness and say to yourself, now how would this thing called God handle this? How would God respond to this? And then you'll get a different answer on how to respond to something. How to respond to something. I had a client on Saturday, very nice person, in a relationship, difficult relationship. She's read every book on relationships. And she said, that's exactly the way he's going to handle this. That woman, Pat, somebody who wrote a book, I don't know the name of his name, apparently said, oh, it takes 2 months to do that and 2 months for this to happen and this to happen and that to happen. Well, that's just reacting instead of how are you going to respond? You see, you have to realize that all these books are absolutely wonderful, but they're an overview of everything. And you have to realize that you're an individualized expression of God, and you have to individualize your life. No two relationships are the same. The dynamics in any relationship is different. So you cannot apply some of these principles, and you cannot just have this reaction all the time. You have to learn how to respond in a relationship, how to respond in any situation that you're that you come in contact with. But we're never taught that. We're taught, oh, just react to it. That person was nasty, I'll be nasty back to that person. You see? Instead of saying, oh, I could react differently here. I could start to love that person. And then see the difference that you'll have in your life. See the difference that you'll have in your life. When you're out driving and somebody cuts you off, instead of, oh, what a jerk, why don't you send them love? Why don't you send them love and say, these, they must have had a hard day. They didn't see me. But the problem that we have in life is we take everything personally. We think that driver was out to get us. That driver doesn't even know you exist. Let's see. But we immediately take things personally instead of responding in a different way to everything. Anytime that we take something personally, we get ourselves in a lot of trouble. We get ourselves in a lot of trouble. And we did that since day one. And we did that especially with our parents. Because usually what the parents said to you, especially when you were small, you thought they must be true because they're very tall people. And I'm a very little person here. And I'm looking up here to this God who's telling me that I'm clumsy, that I can't handle money, that money is this or that, or whatever is going on. And we take that right in. We take that right in. So you have to see in your life, what did you take in that you can now let go? Because you take that stuff personally. And remember, don't take anything your parents did to you personally that had done that to anybody. That had done it to anybody. They didn't know any different. So you just have to love them, bless them, and release them. And love and bless and release all that stuff that's inside that's keeping you back from what you want in life. That's keeping you back from what you want in life. And you'll find all the difference in the world, in your life, and in your thinking about yourself and about other people, and certainly about money in your life. I cleanse things out of my thoughts all the time. Makes all the difference in the world to do that. And anything that happened in childhood, I look at now in a completely different way. In a completely different way. I used to think, oh, they deliberately did that to me. I used to think my brother got everything. I used to, oh, it was dreadful, all the thoughts. And as I analyze those and look down now that I'm older, I had told myself lie after lie after lie after lie that I started to believe. That I started to believe, you see. And then I built filters in front of me. And I always looked through filters. And I was looking through those filters. So when I was able to cleanse all that stuff out, take the filters away, now I have a wonderful relationship with my brother. You know, he's different than I am. He doesn't think the same way I do. But all that stuff in childhood is gone. I had made most of it up and didn't even know it. And thought my parents were behind most of that stuff also. And now I realize they were completely innocent about most of that stuff. They weren't out to get me. I had a wonderful childhood when I look back at it. But I had to take all that other stuff away. I had to take all those assumptions, all those opinions, and all those beliefs that I made up. That I made up. I've told you this many times. Most people, no, I shouldn't say that. I should change it to all people. Make up their minds of who they are going to be, how much money they are going to make, who they are going to marry, where they are going to live, how they are going to live by the age of 5. By the age of 5. because we look around and we absorb things. Your mind emotionally is not equipped to make those decisions, but we make those decisions. We hear our parents arguing about money. There's not enough money. We can't pay the bills this month. The little child's, oh, there's not enough money. There's not enough money. And you take that in as a belief system. You take it right in. I've had many clients who come to me, and the first thing out of their mouth will be, well, my mother always told me I was clumsy. Oh, my mother always told me I did this. Oh, my mother always told me I was this way. I said, you're 60-some years old now. Don't you think you could think for yourself? Don't you think you could change that? You're still blaming it on your mother, and she's been dead 20 years? You see, you cannot blame anybody for anything. Take that responsibility for yourself, and then you can change it. But if you're waiting for that to change, or for those people to come back and do something differently, they're not going to do that. First of all, most of those people never even knew that they did something to you. Remember the person who hated somebody for 30 years and held that grudge and said, I just hate that person and they're never going to get away with it. They run into the person and they said, you remember when you did that to me 30 years ago? And the person said, no, I don't remember. I don't remember. The other person does not remember. You're remembering. You're doing it to yourself. A person may be able to hurt you once. May be able to hurt you once. But every time you think about it, now you're hurting yourself. Now you're hurting yourself. That person is not even there. People who are dead, and you're still saying, keeping that, and thinking, they hurt me. They didn't hurt you. Maybe once. But any after that, every time you think about it, you're hurting yourself. That is why we become our own prisoners. We become our own prisoners, and we lock ourselves into our own minds, into our own feelings, and into our own emotions. We do that. The outside world does not do that. When we come to the realization that nothing on the outside of life is causing anything, we're causing it all. We're always the cause under our own experience. And we're the cause under our own experience by the way we are thinking. And the one thing that we know is we can change our thinking. We can change our thinking anytime we want to change our thinking. And then we start to change our beliefs about ourselves so that we know that we're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. And those items we don't hear all the time. Very few people heard those when they were growing up. Your teachers in school never told you that. Now you have to tell yourself that. And you have to make yourself believe that. And so many people say, well, it's not true. Well, it's absolutely true, by the way. It's absolutely true. There's just a layer on top of it that you have put there yourself. There is no way that you can say, all that I am is God, and I am not all that God is, and then say, I don't matter. You say, you cannot do that to yourself. So you have to use your thinking, use your imagination, and change what's going on inside of you, especially with your thinking. Learn to change your thinking. See yourselves as more. See yourselves as more. It's all that it takes. It's done with your belief systems. It's done with your feelings, and it's done with your thoughts. And those are items that you can change. It has nothing to do with what the world is saying out there. Nothing to do with what the world is saying out there. Right now, the world is saying too many things. You don't have to believe a word of that. Anything that's going on out there, what we call the world or in race mind, is nothing but facts. There's no truth behind it whatsoever. It's a fact that we're in war. The truth is, there's always nothing but harmony and peace going on in the mind of God. And we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. And when we realize that, war stops. War is out there because it's in race mind. And that's the only reason that those things exist, because they're in race mind. But in the mind of God, there is no war going on. And that's what you have to remember. But we get sucked into facts all the time, and we take those facts as reality. Those facts are not reality. Only the truth is reality. And that's when we get rid of the facts, all this stuff, and then we see. We just keep parting all these little veils and all these filters that we put in front of us. We keep parting them till we find the truth, because the truth is underneath that whole thing. The truth is underneath that whole thing. This young man, this evening, when I came in, said to me, asking questions, which was wonderful. And he came up with a thing. He said there was a lady in the class that was talking about weight. And he said, doesn't she know that thin is already there underneath the layers that you put on top of yourself? The layers that you put on top of yourself. Peel the layers back and you find what's there. Peel the layer back that you think that there's not enough, that only so many people can be rich, that there's not enough money to go around. That's just layers and filters that you've put in front of yourself. The truth is always going to be that money is freely circulating in your life. There's always a divine surplus, that this universe we live in is absolutely abundant and absolutely prosperous. And when you know that, then you draw those things into your life. But you don't draw them into your life when you think that there's scarcity out there. That if somebody has it, then you don't get it. You see, you can have everything. Everyone can have everything. But we're not taught that. We're taught if that person has it, then now it's off the market. I can't get it. You have to know you can have everything. Everyone talks about Oprah all the time, how much money she has. And isn't that, which I think is wonderful, let her have all the money that she wants. But because she has $1.5 billion, does not mean that you can't have $1.5 billion, you see. Her money is her money. Your money is your money. You're not going to take hers to get yours. You're going to get your own money. You're going to do your own thing. So that's the idea, is to stay at home in your own thinking. Worry about yourself. Worry about yourself, not about the world and other people. Learn to love yourself first. Learn to give to yourself first. It's very hard to give something to somebody if you haven't done it yourself. Say, you have to do everything yourself first, then you can give it away. But people want to take and take without giving first, giving of themselves, knowing that they're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter. You have to know these things about yourself. Then life just unfolds in a wonderful way for you. But we buy in to the scarcity thing. We buy in that there's not enough. And if you have that working in your life, that there's not enough, it's going to be very difficult to demonstrate anything in your life, because you're telling your mind there's not enough to go around. And there's certainly not enough for me, because the other people have it and I don't. You see? And I don't. Know that you have everything. You have it already. Now, start to peel back your viewpoints, your opinions, your attitudes, and your beliefs. Pull them away, and the object that you want will be in front of you. It's always been there, but we cannot see it. You see, remember in the Bible, I love to quote the Bible, you love it. I do that just for Wesley because he's my Baptist friend. If you don't have eyes to see or ears to hear, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do about that. You see. Some people don't get this teaching because they don't have eyes to see and ears to hear what's going on. Because they're living in the world and they're living from a different belief system. So they think, oh, this is a bunch of bunk. This is a bunch of bunk. I've been in this 30 years now, and I can tell you that it's not a bunch of bunk. I'm very dedicated to this teaching because this teaching, I will give full credit for saving my life. If I wouldn't have found metaphysics or religious science or science of mind, I wouldn't be on this plane of action right now. I would have offed myself because the rest of the world did not make sense to me. It just didn't make sense. This is the only thing that I have found that makes sense. And if you use it correctly, it'll make sense to you. And you will see a difference in your life. And you will get rid of the stress and struggle and strain that you're going through. There's no reason for that. We were not put on this plane of action for stress, struggle, and strain. That is man-made. We made that up because we think that we are so important. And we allow the ego to tell us that we're not enough. We don't have enough and we don't do enough. And we have allowed that. And that's what's yelling at us all the time from race mind. It is always telling you that you have to do more, you see. We are human beings. Human beings. Our job here is to sit and be. But the world tells us you are human doings. And we always have to be doing something. And the mind keeps you that busy doing things that you never discover your true self. You never discover the divinity that is within you. And each and every one of us has the divinity within us. And we have to find that divinity. And we find it by getting rid of all these filters that we have put in front of ourselves. And by learning to respond to life differently, in a completely new and different way than we have in the past. When our life is not working, we have to change what we're doing with it, how we're thinking about it, how we're responding to it. Otherwise, we're going to get the same thing over and over and over. Life, metaphysics, is a mathematical equation. The whole universe is a mathematical equation. What you put out, you get back. What you put out, you get back. The same thought will always produce the same result. The same thought will always produce the same result. Yet people will try to make that thought into something else, to make it do something else. But I think I'll rethink that. And how many people here have thought the same thought for years and years now? And always going to come out the same way. It's a mathematical equation. Life is a mathematical equation. Everyone watched The Secret. When they know about The Secret, you know, and people went to the other one, what the bleep. It's all mathematical.
The law of cause and effect is a mathematical law. A mathematical law. We call them immutable laws, meaning that you cannot change them, that they never change, that they always stay the same. So, from here to the end, which there is none, of the universe, all those planets, all those galaxies out there, two and two are always going to be four. If you go to Jupiter, two and two is not going to be five. It's not going to be five. You see? The same thought will always produce the same result. That's why we say, change your thinking, change your life. And now we're going to say, change your feeling, change your life. How are you feeling about yourself? You see? And then you can do something. Then you have a platform to start with. And you have to have a solid base to start from. When you're doing this type of work, you have to know, first of all, that what you're asking for is already done. You see, the reason that it is already done, you wouldn't be able to think about it unless it was done. This thing that we call God is not a cruel God. It does not give you a desire. It does not give you an idea that you cannot bring to fruition. It does not do that. You see? What man can conceive, mind can achieve. Your mind can achieve that. So, if you have a desire, keep that desire and know that everything that is needed to make that desire come true is coming together now. It's coming together now. Ernest Holmes said, when you're doing treatment work and you're asking for something and you want a demonstration, you have to realize that what it takes to make that demonstration, if it's in the deepest, darkest of Africa at the present moment, is on its way to you now. It's on its way to you now. So when you make your affirmations, when you do your treatment work, know that everything is available for you to have that come true. We live in a field of nothing but possibilities. Nothing but possibilities. And you see, we don't remember that because the world tells you it is not possible. It is not possible. So go back to your imagination again and stretch your thinking with your imagination. How do you think people came up with all these wonderful things? Remember, Einstein said imagination is more important than knowledge. The rocket ships and all were in somebody's mind, weren't they? They were somebody's imagination. And then we built rocket ships, planes. Everything that we do was in somebody's mind or somebody's imagination. Then it came to be. Are those Crocs you're wearing?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you the story about Crocs. They were made for people on boats and so forth. They only made a few of them, and then they became very popular. You know how many they sell now? They sell 6 million a month. Now, that is abundance and prosperity in action. That was an idea that was in somebody's mind, that was in their imagination. How? They got them, and they made the shoes. Now, who would have thought that I call them plastic? It's not some material they get from Canada. Who would have thought that those shoes would become so popular that they sell 6 million a month? 6 million a month. Keep your ideas, keep your imagination, keep your desires, and know what they can do for you. Everything is a money-making
proposition, a money-making possibility. You can make money. You see, that's the most wonderful thing about money. We're always creating it. We're always making it. You see, you think there was a $1.5 billion just lying there waiting for Oprah? No. She created that money. She created that money. That's what we create, money. When you use your credit card, you create money. That money is not there till you use that credit card. And then there's money there. You say, no money there. It's an idea. But it comes, becomes something. So your ideas and your desires all have wonderful God-given potential behind them. And that's what you have to know. And you have to believe in your idea. But in order to believe in your idea, you have to believe in yourself. You have to believe in yourself. You have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Then you start drawing money into your life. You start drawing it. It's all out there. Everything is out there. So learn to respond differently to life itself. Learn to respond differently to people. Don't say the same old thing constantly. You know, I have a friend. I had a friend. I don't talk to that friend anymore. I love, blessed, and released him. Because every time I'd say, how is everything? Oh, same old, same old. Same old, same old. Now, that's just reacting. That's not responding. And that's not seeing life. Same old, same old. Make life exciting for yourself. Make it exciting for yourself. Thursday night, I told the class, and I'm going to tell the class, at each class, Mondays and Thursdays, every time in class, you think you're bored with, you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, that you matter. At the end of the day, empty your mind of everything, like you empty your pockets. Let go of today. Don't drag it into tomorrow. The day is gone. Love it, bless it, and release it. You can go through a little thing, a review at the end of the day. And you can say, that didn't work, that worked, I could have done this differently, I could have done that differently. But then you let it go. And when you get up in the morning, you remember, this is a brand new day, a brand new start. I can be anyone I want to be today, and I can correct every fault that I think I have from yesterday. I do not carry it with me. You made a mistake yesterday. If you carry yesterday with you, you're going to make the mistake today in the now. Do it as an exercise at nighttime. As you take your wallet, your change, your watch off, all the things that you do. As you shed your clothes at nighttime, shed all that other stuff that went on also. Shed it. Don't carry into the next day, so that when you wake up in the morning, phew, fresh start, here I am, wonderful. It will change your whole thinking. It's very hard to think different thoughts and new thoughts and better thoughts and bigger thoughts while you're dragging yesterday with you and reviewing it and saying, well, I shouldn't have done that, like, oh my, that was horrible, this was that, but remember this and that. No, I never remember. Let it go. You know, we place so much stock on this thing called memory. And where does it get us? Where does it get us? Doesn't get you very far. Grand idea. I never go down memory lane. You know, that's gone. Nothing you can do about that. but I can do something with this day, the brand new day when I get up. And I can decide, well, I'm going to respond to life differently today. I'm going to respond to life differently today. I'm going to know that money is always freely circulating in my life. I always have a divine surplus. I live in a universe that is abundant and prosperous. I have wonderful people around me. I know that business is great. And people are wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.